Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Happy Martin Luther King Day week.
That it is.
Yeah. What'd you do to celebrate?
So usually I get involved in some type of community service.
Yeah.
This year, though, I attended a community breakfast
nice.
For the local MLK Foundation.
Okay.
And my sister was the guest speaker, so it was
That's
definitely
nice.
A family affair.
I love that.
Yep.
I love that. Your sister's running for office soon.
She is. She's already in elected office, but
yeah.
She will be... I guess we can.
Yeah, talk right? about it.
So my sister is currently the commissioner for the county we live in New Jersey.
Somerset County. You could be specific.
Well, we can be specific,
okay.
right? It's like giving advice, right? It was like,
yeah.
well, I don't know if we can. And she's running for Congress.
Yeah, she's running for the seat currently occupied by Bonnie Watson Coleman.
That's right.
And, she, you know, Bonnie is a heavyweight, a
yes,
superstar.
For sure.
In the Democratic Party. And your sister is also... a rising heavyweight and superstar. And
that's right.
We're all about that.
It's all good. It's such a prideful day.
Yeah.
Proud of her for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I think about this community where we grew up,
yep,
it's a special place.
Yeah.
And so knowing my children have been recipients
yeah.
of the foundation scholarship, you know, local businesses supported. You know, many of the board members are people I know personally.
Yeah.
People probably we both know personally. It was just a beautiful thing to see. What's interesting is in her message, she talked about the irony, maybe, of it being the United States' 250th birthday.
Mm.
But next year, this particular foundation, MLK Foundation, will celebrate 30 years.
Mm.
And the dichotomy between
yeah, that's interesting.
Dr. King's vision and where we are right now.
Yeah.
In celebrating our
yeah
America's birthday.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I always listen to and play in my house loudly for the kids. All mm-hmm. kinds of King speeches and King speeches over club music are my favorites. But I watched an interview.
I never heard that until I came to New Jersey, by
oh,
the way.
Yeah. No, Jersey will put anything over a club beat. We'll do gospel over a club beat. Anything
sermons,
over a club
speeches.
Beat. Sermons.
Anything. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll be in a Jersey club dancing, like grinding, and then you're hearing gospel like mixed
yeah,
in.
I've seen that. So holler at us, Chicago. Like, would the same thing happen in Chicago over house music?
Yeah. I'm sure.
You know?
I'm sure.
So, or DC go-go music? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if go-go's doing... Go-go will take a regular song...
And go-go-fy it.
Yeah, just like reggae will do the same thing.
Sure. Okay, that's
I
fair.
I just don't know. You know, back when Mary Mary had like that big song that was on the radio all the time?
Shackles?
Yeah, I mm-hmm. wonder if they did a go-go of or a reggae of that. Because I remember one time I was like it was somewhere, and I'm like, why is this song playing right now? Like... It's like just making everybody in here who's been drinking like just feel guilty, but whatever. So,
what'd you do to observe the holiday? The speeches over the music for the kids.
Yeah. So today I just listened to a few interviews, and one interview that really struck me, he was debating with just some white folks in the media, and he was asked this question, like, we understand what y'all want, civil rights, right? But do you also understand that the attitudes of white folks are not going to change overnight? How we feel about Black people is not going to change overnight. And he gave a really like reasonable, calm response. And he's like, look, I know we can't legislate morality, But like, y'all got to understand, like, what we're asking for is not crazy.
We're not asking for a lot. We're not asking you to give us anything. Like, we're asking you to...
Like, to me, like...
Like, some of the things we're asking for benefit y'all, too.
Like, the fact that we have to have this conversation where you're basically saying, look, I know what y'all want. I know y'all want your rights and everything, but we have negative attitudes towards y'all, and it's not going to change. Like, the fact that he didn't flip the podium over and smack these people up, I just applaud him for it. Like, he just was an incredible man, an incredible leader, and just a great visionary. He would have been, I think, 90-something this year, 98 years old this year, something like that. And we honor you,
yeah,
Dr. King.
Yeah, I think 97.
97 years old. We honor you, Dr. King. So this week, we always talk about, it's like ripped from the headlines, ripped from our jobs as financial advisors.
So rich, though. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah. This week, you know, we were doing a Zoom meeting with a client and their three children, a client family and their children. The children are young adults, ages 18, 25, and 30. And mom and dad were planning to give them some money. And what's interesting is, like, mom and dad give kids money like every day of the week. Like, this is something that happens all over America. But what's different about this time with this particular family?
A little more intentional.
Very intentional. They were going to give each kid $1,000, which again is not like an earth-shattering amount. But they had a bunch of stipulations for their kids. They said, number one, in order to receive this amount, you've got to meet with our financial advisor. Number two, you've got to read a book on investing. They picked the book. The kids have to read it.
All the same book?
Same book.
Love it.
Number three, they had to listen to three of our podcast episodes. And we've done episode 3, which is Investing 101. That was before your time.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 96, which is What You Must Know Before You Start Investing, which is really a discussion about which accounts to open. Then number 3 was Stocks, the prequel. And I think these were all probably before you came on.
It's fine. I know them, so I can send them whatever I want to send them. What?
No, today's show is just about how to turn kids into investors, how to create young moguls, and maybe even little wolves of Wall Street.
Hey, you never know.
You
it can be a very empowering educational experience. I love that. We have the mindset to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the meeting went well. I loved that they were all on camera. They also were tasked with asking questions. They each went around and they had questions. And like, we had scheduled this to be like a 45-minute talk. We wound up talking for like an hour and 15 minutes. And it's mainly because they had more questions and they were excited.
Love it.
So today we're going to dive into that. Like, what do you do to not just teach your kid about investing, but how do you create the framework for them to be investors? How do you know which accounts to open, for example?
So I'm jealous because I want my kids to do this, but they're not going to receive it from me.
Yeah.
So I might need you to do another part with my kids because they will not listen to me.
They might need Uncle Boom Boom.
I sent them a deck.
Yeah.
And I said, I know.
You know they're not going to look at a whole PowerPoint presentation.
My daughter has sent me Google Slides with her rationale and her wishes for Christmas. If she can do that, I just told them, I said, you don't have to review the whole thing, but I need you to text me 3 takeaways.
Yeah.
One child did it, the other one did not.
Yeah. So 50.
I'm just saying. Yeah. So okay. I just might need you to.
All right. I'll do it for yours if you do it for mine. How about that?
I bet.
Cool.
It's done.
All right.
Yep.
We'll do that.
Listeners, you heard.
Yep.
Yep.
And we'll do that. Like this summer, the kids are all off to college now.
Yep.
We'll do an investment meeting this summer.
We'll make them come here and we'll do it together.
Okay.
How's that?
Hey, I like it.
How's that?
I like
Maybe we'll buy them lunch.
And I will say, if they do it, then they'll get money that we'll invest for them.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
It's done. Summer date.
So, cool. As always, we start with statistics. Here's some good stats. So, a recent study showed that 30% of Gen Z started investing in early adulthood. If you compare that to Gen X, that's you and me, Andrea, only 9% of us start investing in early adulthood. And for baby boomers, it was only 6%. So we've gone from 6% for our parents' generation to 30% for Gen Z investing as young adults.
Love it. That's access, right? In our parents' day, in the baby boomers' day, you had to have a broker that you had to call.
Yeah.
To or a broker would call you to say buy this, sell that. It's a whole different ball game today.
And there's also a stat that showed there's a bunch of kids who've made their very first investment before the age of 21, making them, this is Gen Z kids, a significant percentage. We already said 30% started in their early adulthood, but some started before 21. And Gen Z is being dubbed the most investment savvy generation in history. And so if your kids up on investments, investing, then they're kind of being left behind in their own demographic.
Right.
Their own friends are out here doing this stuff. Mm-hmm. Why not yours? And then finally, there's another percentage that started before 18 by using custodial accounts that their parents have bestowed.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So now let's get into how we frame the conversation with the young adults we just spoke to. So we first always start with this concept of like compound interest and like what is investing? Because these are like big picture concepts that are like the groundwork for being an investor. If you can't get these concepts, then like investing's probably not going to make a whole lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
You're laughing. There's something that made you smile?
You know me and acronyms, I'm always putting stuff together.
Okay.
So I don't want to steal your thunder or get ahead, but I see money, opportunity, and time.
That's investing.
It makes me think of when your kids were little, did they ever drink Mott's for Tots? It's like the Mott's fruit juice, but it was like the watered down version.
I'm sure they did.
Mott's for Tots. Yes. It just... money, opportunity, and time for young kids.
That's what you just laid
Mott's
out.
Mott's for Tots is something totally different now.
I like that. That's actually a good one. So what is an investment? Investing is when you mix three things together. You take money, you mix it with an opportunity, and you give it time.
We got to use that when we get our kids in.
Mott's for Tots.
My one kid will be falling over because he's like, how dare you give me this watered down juice?
That's so funny.
Anyway, sorry.
And just like if you were baking a cake and the ingredients said you need 2 eggs, the cake mix, some oil, and some milk or water. If you decide to take out one of the ingredients, the cake is going to come out like a brick.
It's going to be a little different.
Yeah. Like.
But you know full well you have taken some cake mix and cut back on the milk and added some extra water.
I add extra stuff.
Okay.
When I make cake.
But you don't take stuff away.
I don't take stuff away.
That's okay. But that's okay. Add a little vanilla or...
I'll usually add... My secret to making a cake, and I shouldn't tell
from
everybody
from a box
this,
mix?
This is if I'm making a box cake.
Okay.
Okay. A brother will throw in some pudding.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of common, though.
Okay.
It makes it a little more moist.
I kind of invented that and everything.
You invented it?
So...
Okay.
I'm glad you see the logic of where my invention has taken
me. I need all of the listeners who have added pudding to cake to tag us, write us, do something, and let Alan know.
And everything, you know. So
you did not invent that, bro.
Yeah,
but
I kind of patented that
go
already.
Mm-hmm. Pat yourself on the back.
Investing, the biggest thing that people want to leave out all the time is the last one, which is time. Like, how often do you hear, like, I want to make an investment and I'll get my money back in a week.
Right.
Or a month. Or by the end of the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe like the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Like typically an investment is going to take at least 3 to 5 years. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Then the thing, I'm amazed at people who don't understand that.
Yeah.
But it's also because we are in a generation of investors. With a few exceptions, that all they've known is positive markets for any extended period of time, other than a week or a month. Yeah. We've had a couple of quarters that were down, except for 2022. Some of our investors they only know positive markets.
Yeah.
So they think it's normal.
But I think I'll also say that there's a lot of people that have it's a mystical thing.
Mm-hmm.
Investing.
Yeah.
Everybody's doing it, and I'm sure they're putting up $5 and walking away with $100,000. Right? Like that's the idea. And so then when someone says, hey, here's a chance for you to put up $5, like remember years ago there was that big susu thing that everybody was getting into where they were like, hey, you put up $100 and then you get three people to put up $100 and you get $300 back. And
right.
like people were getting caught up in this.
That
mainly
sounds like a pyramid scheme, though.
Oh, it 100% is. And people went to jail over this.
Right.
We did a show back then called Susu or Scam Scam. And we called it out that, okay, like, yo, this clearly ain't going to work out well for people. And like, I have friends on social media who were promoting this stuff. And I would DM a couple of them like, yo, I love you. I appreciate you. But like, this is going to get you in trouble.
Right.
I got called.
And by the way, don't tag me in this.
Yeah. I got called a hater. And
yeah,
quietly, a lot of people went to prison
yeah.
over this, or got their reputations ruined. You know what I mean? Like investing in it, it's taking your money, mixing with an opportunity and giving it time. And typically the time is 3 to 5 years. It's not mm-hmm. typically 3 to 5 days or weeks or months.
Right.
The next big concept is compound interest.
And one of your favorite topics.
Yeah. I mean, Einstein. And we did a whole show, if you look early in our mm-hmm. podcast journey,
I remember
you'll
it.
See, compound interest. And allegedly Albert Einstein said that it's the eighth wonder of the world, and he or she who understands it earns it, and he who does not pays it. And I don't know if he said that or not, but it's a good quote, because it's
so
facts.
Absolutely on point.
So with the kids, we then always give them an example of compound interest. And it just starts with simple math. Okay, imagine we started with $100. Listener, and Dre, you're the listener now.
Okay.
Okay. And we got a 10% return. How much did you earn in that year?
$10.
Got $10. Okay. So now you start your second year with $110, and you get a 10% return again. How much did you earn in year two?
11.
So hold on. So in year one, I made 10. In year two, I made 11.
And I didn't do anything.
And now you start year three, you've got now $121. And mm-hmm. how much do you make if you got a 10% return in the next year? How much do you get?
$12.
And 10 cents.
And 10 cents.
You feel me?
I feel you.
Which means that compound interest is the idea that my money is making money.
My money is making money. And I've done nothing.
And then, yes.
In this example.
And then the money that I made is making money.
Correct.
On top of my money making money.
Right.
And then the money that money made is making money.
And it
causes your money to grow exponentially. Like if you were to then map this out on a sheet of paper, which we did with this group of young adults, we put it in Excel and we charted it in Excel. And you see that it goes up like a parabola, right? Like that's an exponential type of return. And the biggest thing about it is the time.
Word of the episode, parabola.
Yeah, I haven't done that in a while.
I haven't done that in a while. You've mentioned them. I just didn't call them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, time is the biggest one. And so going back to these kids, crazy to call a 30-year-old a kid, but they're still kids. They're somebody's kid. I tell my parents all the time. I still tell my parents, I'm like, look, don't talk about that in front of me. I'm a kid.
Listen, like, if you are old enough to be their father, they're kids.
Yeah.
I mean, we respect them as the young adults
of
that
course.
They are, but...
They're kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were getting...
Old man.
I told them, like, look, if we use that same exact logic, $1,000 is not $1,000. Your parents did not give you $1,000. Your parents gave your future self $10,000.
Like, I love looking at it that way.
Because in 25 years, $1,000, if you got a 10% rate of return, is worth $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got $10,000, would you treat it like a little differently?
Correct.
Or if we took this out 30 or 40 years, we got to year 42, $1,000 is actually $50,000. Like your dad or mom gave you $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't give it to you though. He gave it to your future self.
Right.
Right. In other words, if I spend the whole $1,000 today and I could buy for $1,000 a range of stuff, right? Is it worth $10,000, the stuff that I bought?
Probably not.
Is it worth $50,000?
Probably not.
So the idea is, look, here's what you got to promise. If you're going to make this pledge, you read the books, you listen to the podcast, you do the investing, you got to also promise that I'm not going to touch this money for at least X number of years.
That part.
Because that's the only way that the compounding is going to work. And the question that we got from the youngest of the crew is, well, wait, so that means I just can't touch it? Like, yeah. If you can avoid the temptation of cashing in this money, mm-hmm. then it's going to grow tenfold over the course of time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's compound interest.
And I'm sure you saw the light bulbs going off.
Absolutely. Which then begs the question, well, how do you do it? How do you make that investment? So we'll go to break now. When we come back, we'll keep the conversation going about Mott's for Tots and turning your kids into the little wolves of Wall Street.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
And so before the break, we were talking about the basics. These are the building blocks. If you can get the young people in your life to understand that investing involves Mott's for Tots, money, opportunity, and time being mixed together, with time being the biggest one. And if you could get them to take out a sheet of paper and do the compound interest example that we gave, $100 getting a 10% return, map out how that grows over time. By the time you get to year 25, you're up 10x.
That's it. Now, you know, we have some mentors, some parents out there who are like intimidated by numbers. If you don't want to do the spreadsheet or the paper yourself because you think you're going to do something wrong, I'm sure there's an online calculator out there that will model it for you.
Fine.
But I like the idea of the young people going through the exercise. I'm speaking to the parents and the mentors out there who are like, they might feel intimidated. I mean, we do this all the time, but just saying, there are calculators out there that will model it for you.
Sure. I like the old school way, pen and paper.
You remember differently when you write it down. Oh, I don't care what anybody says.
No, I agree with that 100%. So we also gave the young people an example. Like, imagine we gave the example that you take a job, you're making $60,000 a year. And I said, does that feel like you're balling, like $60,000? Would you feel like you're a millionaire if you're making $60,000? They're like, no, like that's a good pay, but it's not like going to make you rich. I said, well, what if you were to invest in the 401k? And I asked them, well, what's the 401k? And they explained that they did know 401ks, that it's a tax-advantaged way to put money away for retirement. And I said, so what if you were to put 12% of your money into the 401k and you also got a 6% annual match? That's about 18% of the $60,000, or about.
Were they like, what? Free money? People do that?
Yeah, we broke it down. It's free money. And you'd be putting away about $10,000 a year. And over the course of 30 years, you would have put away $300,000. And I asked, well, how much do you think you'll have if, let's say, you got a 7% rate of return? How much money do you think you'll have in 30 years? And they had no idea. And I said, look, I expect you don't know the answer.
Do you remember the range of answers?
Yeah, one said, well, I think it's got to be a lot of money. So one of them said it's going to be $2
million. Mm-hmm.
Another said $1.3 million or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is that it's over $1 million. I think it's like $1.2 million or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I asked the question again. So if you made $60,000, would you see yourself as a millionaire? And they said no.
Mm-hmm.
But I just gave you the math that showed you through compound interest and with time being the biggest factor, you could be a millionaire in your 40s or 50s. And they mouths were dropped wide open. I said,
right.
How would you feel if you looked in your bank account and saw $1 million? They were like, yo. And I'm like, yo, but you saw it could be done in your lifetime in 30 years. By just having a regular job and just doing your part of saving and investing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next question becomes, well, how do we do that? And so we talk to the kids about what are some things that you can invest in. And the easy one is just stocks and bonds. Like, and so we started by asking, well, when you hear the word stock,
mm-hmm.
what comes to mind? And I was actually surprised to hear this answer.
Okay.
The first answer that the 30-year-old said was, major corporations,
okay,
billionaires,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm like, huh? So the word stock feels remote. It feels unattainable.
Right.
It feels like something that
been rich.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like something that they have access to.
Right.
And then we explain it a little differently. You know, stock is ownership, and you can own a tiny fraction of a thing. Imagine if every time you went to Chipotle or every time you saw someone go to Chipotle,
mm-hmm.
every time a burrito was sold or...
If I'm going to spend money on it anyway, I'd yeah. rather be making some money at the same time.
Imagine you got paid a little bit
mm-hmm.
off that. And they were like, yeah. I was like, that's stock.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy stock in Chipotle. I showed them the Nikes I had on.
Apparently at a deep discount right now. But
I showed them the Nikes I had on. I said, look, I buy Nike stock because I like Nike.
Mm-hmm.
I buy Apple stock because I own an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through the examples. And so they needed to make that connection that like stock is ownership. And yeah, it could be a big company, but I can actually take part in that. Like I can be an owner with my resources of these corporations that I think only the billionaires get to own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a powerful concept for a young person to receive.
Yeah.
And we went on to say, look, stocks, you know, the last 100 years, they've made 10 to 12% a year. And there have been big dips in the market.
Right.
Right. There have been multiple times. We showed them a chart from 1900 to today. There's multiple times where you've lost more than
18th century.
Yeah, man. More than one time when your money has gone down by more than 50%. But on average, you got a return of 10 or 12%.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So high risk, high reward.
High highs and low lows.
Scared money don't make no money.
But way more highs than lows.
That's it. So then we talk about bonds. And we explain bonds as just being a loan.
Wah, wah. Boring bonds. But
yeah,
what have boring bonds done this year or last year?
And you give the kids an example. So if you give somebody a loan, what do you want? And they say,
I want my money back.
Plus
a little more.
A little interest.
That's right.
And then I gave the example. So what if you loan me the money and then I told you I lost my job? What do you want? And they're like, yo, a deal is a deal.
Same answer. I want my money.
I might feel bad for you, but I still want my money back.
Right.
And I was like, well, what if you loan me the money and I turn around and I invent Google? What do you want? And they were like, yeah, I guess a deal is a deal. I just want my money back. So I was like, yo, bonds are just a safe investment.
Yep.
They're not like stocks in the sense that you get to ride upwards if the thing goes well. You get your money back plus interest, and it's a safe way to go. And then we then said, look, now think about you. You got $1,000 now. How do you want to split it up? You can only put it in stocks or bonds in this example.
Mm-hmm.
And they came up with their percentages, and we made fun of them.
Interesting.
And what's interesting, the older one had the most conservative portfolio. The youngest one also had a really conservative portfolio, and it was the middle child who was like, well, look, I understand that I need to take some risk then to get a big return. So I want to put a big percentage in stock.
What's crazy is, again, it may feel unfair because I know who we're talking about, but that actually doesn't surprise me based on the people I think I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after that, I made fun of them. I'm like, look, all right, so you want 60% of your money in bonds. I respect that. But little brother's going to be making twice the return you're going to make, and you're investing like you're 60 years old, even though you're 30.
No, when I say I'm thinking about things like birth order, I'm thinking about gender, I'm thinking about how all those things play into their responses or their reactions. So that's really interesting, though.
Yeah, and that's it. And so, you know, we talked about the idea that you can match your age to your bond percentage. The older you get, the more money you put into bonds.
Not me.
Yeah. And so we landed with them that, look, their homework, this is the homework that they had, in addition to reading the books and listening to the podcast, but think more about the percentage you want, stocks versus bonds. But then the next couple things, and these are assignments that we would task you to give to the young people in your life. And this, we're speaking to the parents, but we're also speaking to the rich aunties.
Mm-hmm.
The rich uncles, the godparents out there.
Listen.
The Sunday school leaders.
Everybody. The whole village.
The coach.
The whole village.
Have the young people in your life. So educate them. Have them listen to this episode. But then the next step, have them write down a list of all the companies who make the products that they like the most.
Mm-hmm.
And then go to ChatGPT or Gemini or one of these AI tools and ask, have them look up which of these companies are publicly traded stocks. And then for extra credit, after they come up with their list of publicly traded companies, they can look up some more stuff.
Yeah, just look at how the stock has performed in the past couple of years. You can easily see things like the past 1, 5, or 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when I'm talking to young people, almost everybody has a phone, and most of our phones today come loaded with the stock app.
Yep.
I just have them opening. Right, a lot of times they're like, I never knew what this was. Or mm-hmm. others are like, oh yeah, it came with it, but I deleted it.
Yeah, that's
so
funny.
Yeah, it is yeah. funny. That's for the gamers who need more space.
Yeah. So,
but yeah.
Other extra credit, is the company profitable or
are
not?
Are they making money? There's some really popular yeah. stocks or companies out there that are not profitable.
Yeah.
I had to talk to an adult client recently who sent me a note and said, I want to get in on this. And well, my first thought was like, I don't know what that means. Like, yeah. we got to be a little more specific. Like, I want to buy a certain number of shares. I want to spend a certain amount of money. What mm-hmm. account do we want to buy it in? But the follow-up question is, what are your thoughts? My thoughts were, I kind of want to hear your thoughts, but let me tell you why I don't think it's a good investment.
Yeah.
The company wasn't profitable. Mm-hmm. They had not been profitable for at least 3 quarters. They had missed their earnings.
And let me stop you for 1 second.
Yeah.
The profits that Andre is talking about is the underlying company, whether it's making a loss or a profit from its own company selling products and services.
Correct.
Because I think
not
people
on the stock price.
Often think a profit from the stock perspective. But
right. We're just talking about.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Look at the young people look at the profit and loss statement of the company, which you go to like a website like Yahoo Finance.
Yahoo
click
Finance
financials,
is really easy to
and you can see
follow
revenue and expenses and net income.
Yep.
Or a little cheat code. There's a little right on the quote page. There's a little section that says EPS, earnings per share. Is there a number there or is it negative?
Yeah.
That's going to tell you whether it made a profit. But go ahead, Dre. I cut you off.
This company is closer to a newer issue, so that information wasn't available yet.
Okay.
But they were highly levered and had a negative cash flow.
So a lot of debt when you say highly levered.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like,
yeah.
They're like a promising young person that has debt.
And is working at Starbucks, but
right.
could go to MIT and be a software engineer.
Could. So we talked through why she wanted to get in on it. And then I said, okay, so we're not going to say no, but what we are going to do, because she, in the field that she works in, she sometimes has insight into what the next big thing could be. And no, I'm not talking about insider trading.
Yeah.
It's she's in a very innovative industry.
Mm-hmm.
And we just decided, hey, if you think that you're going to want to get in on something else on the regular, let's just put a cap on what percentage of your portfolio that we're going to limit to these opportunities.
Good.
And we'll just agree that when you bring something to me, I will give you my thoughts, but my thoughts don't mean a no. We're just not going to go above. We landed on 10% of the portfolio so that if it doesn't pan out, you're not mad at me and then you don't fire me because you ran out of money.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a reasonable approach. We'll see how it does.
10% is a lot, but hey.
We capped it at 10%.
Okay,
we didn't
okay.
say we were actively aiming for 10%.
Yeah. Now you want, it's their money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like a client who has ideas, you'd much rather help them to make good choices with the money.
Yeah.
Like,
we weren't talking about 10% of her entire portfolio.
Oh,
we were
okay.
talking about 10% of the brokerage account.
Gotcha.
Which is where we tend to buy individual stocks.
Yeah, that's not that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I would never talk someone out of an investment. I just say, look, here's the pros and cons. Here's what I'm seeing.
Because mm-hmm.
like the thing is, financial advisors don't have crystal balls. Like all we can do is look at data, read the story, bring in our own, context of what we see in the marketplace and then make a call. And sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong. Just like you as an investor, sometimes you'll be right, sometimes you're wrong. But the extra credit that you're giving to the kid is just to dive a little deeper. So how's the stock done? Is the company profitable? Another couple of things they could look up right on Yahoo Finance in the bottom right-hand corner of all the numbers, there's a target price for the stock.
For the next 12 months.
Yes. And this is just like the guesstimate of all the Wall Street firms that cover the stock and write research reports on the stock. What do they think? It's the sum total of the averages of what they think.
Yep.
And like, it's just a data point. It doesn't mean definitely buy it or definitely don't buy it. But like,
although they'll show that too.
Yeah.
Well, a buy sell recommendation.
For sure.
But
it's like a data point you want to keep in mind.
I love it. It's an easy visual to follow. It's not a lot of lines and graphs but it's a very simple, on the low end, the person who thinks this is going to be here in the next 12 months, and they'll show you the low and the high end, and then they'll show you the average.
Yeah, and that average right on page one of Yahoo Finance, you get a quote, the bottom right-hand number is target price, and it'll just have a single number. And if
and
the
you can
number,
see where it is right now too.
Yeah. And if the stock's target is 30% higher, then like I have some sort of understanding that there's other people who share the view that this could be a good investment.
Right. And it keeps you away from like the outliers, right? Maybe the one person thinks it's not going anywhere. It's going to be lower than where it is right now. And one person, when we're talking about averages, thinks it's going to be way up here. When you get the consensus or what the average is, you're getting the aggregation of all of those thoughts.
Or conversely,
for people who watch it every single day.
Or conversely, let's say the estimates are 50% lower. Like, wouldn't you want to know that? Like, that's all I'm saying. Like, wouldn't you want to? You might still want to buy, but you would want to know that the street is very pessimistically evaluating the stock. They're not happy about it. They're
for the next 12 months.
For the next 12 months. Mm-hmm. And then finally, and this is extra credit, is the PE multiple. Like we've done that show stocks, the prequel. We go deep into that. But it's the idea that the PE multiple, another way to think about that is if I were buying a company and they gave me all of the profits it made every year, how many years before I get my money back? And if the number is like 100, like that might be something you would look at and say, that's expensive. Like, I don't want to wait 100 years to get my money back.
Right. We talked about it a little bit, too, with the know when to hold them, when to fold them.
That is that a good episode. One. That should be the homework, is know when to hold them. That's a good one.
Yep.
But yeah, just what the number is. You know what I mean? And like, understand that right now, the average PE on the market's like 20. So if you see a stock out there and the PE is like 10, then that might be a cheap stock. If you see one where the PE is 1,000, then it might be expensive, relatively speaking.
That's it.
And these are conversation starters. So let's keep going. We're trying to create little wolves of Wall Street out here. There's this concept now of what's called paper trading. Paper trading. So paper trading sounds exciting, but really it's just the idea that there are websites that will allow you to build mock portfolios, not using real money, that could be a way for your kid or even you to learn about trading and investing.
Love it.
You could start with $100,000 fictitious dollars. Call them momentum bucks. And you see
coming
how you do?
Coming to a retailer near you, momentum merch, including momentum bucks.
And just see, like, there's a bunch of people out there. And, like, the companies that do it, there's one that's called Webull, W-E-B-U-L-L. I feel like I was about to say WB Du Bois. No, Webull. And you go to Webull and you just / paper - trading. And what they're saying is that they're seeing a huge number of Gen Z. Like, they're saying it, that the percentage of people on their platform that are Gen Z doing paper trading has doubled in the last year. And they have a lot of educational resources for helping investors understand risk. And finally, they say, look, on average, the young people who start out with paper trading end up being more likely to have real investments down the road and actually know a little bit more about investing than just starting from scratch with a bunch of money.
That's right.
So Webull is one. Webull sounds like a bull weevil. No.
That's what I was thinking.
Webull, like I'm bullish, like a bull market. Webull.com. Another
Webull
one.
Webull Wobble.
Another one is Greenlight. It's another investment platform aimed
very popular.
Aimed at children. But it's the idea that, like, listener, you may not have a G to drop on your kid or your godchild, but you might have 100,000 Andrea bucks to put into their Webull account. And y'all look at this together and see how they do.
That's right. So we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the middle class trust fund.
I love that.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North
Star. Momentum. So we're trying to create some little wolves of Wall Street, some mots for tots. We're talking about making young moguls today. And I think we've done a lot on investing, but we now need the framework for like how to put the money to work if we're going to put money to work with these kids. And so Dre dropped the headline of the middle class trust fund. And what we love about that idea is that like you don't need millions of dollars to create these accounts. that would feel like you're making trust fund babies.
Just like you don't need millions of dollars to begin the momentum, no pun intended, of creating generational wealth. You've got to start somewhere.
Absolutely. So what are some different account types that you could help your kids open or open on their behalf if they are minors? We'll start with the custodial account.
Love these. These accounts really belong to the custodian, the adult, but at a specific age, usually 18 or 21, they fully become assets of the former minor.
Yes. Meaning if you open a custodial account, you have to reckon with the fact that one day it's going to be 100% their money.
Right.
And you can't stop them from doing a thing.
Correct. So you control what it's invested in. You control if there are fees associated with it. You are responsible custodian for that. Custodians are usually parents. Sometimes it's grandparents or other.
Rich aunties.
Yeah, rich aunties or uncles.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, the adult is in charge until the minor reaches the age specified in the state that they live, where they live.
Other letters you might see thrown at you would be UGMA, UGMA.
Uniform Gift to Minors Act.
Or there's also UTMAs.
Yep, that's right. They're basically investment accounts for minors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In most states, it's called UTMAs. I think there's like two or three who still call them, who refer to them as UGMAs.
Yeah.
It's old school. Yeah, I'm showing my age.
Yeah, UGMA just sounds like you ugly mug.
Right, like, doesn't it?
Mama, she called me an UGMA. Baby, words can't, what they say back in the day, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me.
That's a lie. That's such a lie.
So the good thing about these accounts, they're brokerage accounts with no limits. You could be a no-limit soldier out in these streets. The only thing that stinks about them is that when it comes time to applying for college, filling out that FAFSA, that Federal Application for Student Aid, or Free Application for Student Aid, I should say, then that asset is an asset of the child, which has the most punitive treatment in the FAFSA calculation.
Correct.
Is assets and income of the child.
Because they're like,
The kid balling.
Yeah.
Oh, they got this.
Yeah.
High student aid index.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
So next is a joint account. And that was the option this family chose. And you can open a joint account with a minor, or you can open a joint account with an adult child.
Mm-hmm.
It simply means that both people have access to the money. That means that, like, you could put the $1,000 in
both
the account.
Have equal access to the money.
Like, yeah. You could put the money in and they could go spend it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, with any of these, whether it be a custodial, whether it be a joint account, you have to educate the young person investing.
Mm-hmm.
They have to understand that we're going to put this money in and it has to stay for at least 3 to 5 years before we might expect to get any sort of return. But we hope that this is an account that that lives for a very long time. 30 years.
Yeah.
40 years.
Mm-hmm.
We hope that we're taking out multiples of this amount in the future.
That's right. These are the type where, whether it's a custodial account with high assets when the child is approaching the age of majority, the 18 or 21, or a joint account, you got to know your kids.
Yeah, that's a fact.
And what you think they might do.
Yeah.
If they were desperate, or if they were in a bind, right? Because these joint accounts, if they go on for a very long time, you know, is the child, if you get up in age or if you need some support, is the child going to use some of that money to care for your needs if you are in a desperate position? I know.
Yeah.
That's like thinking way, way down the road. But you really, the point I want to make is you got to know your kids to know who could handle this.
Yeah. I often see parents set up joint accounts with their kids when they want to also make sure that from an estate perspective, the money goes directly to the kids.
Yeah, it's that makes sense.
Not the ideal setup,
mm-hmm.
but it may be, you know, we talked about, you know, it's almost like the poor man's trust planning.
Yeah.
Or not the money by poor, but like a simple way of doing things.
Yeah, I mean, it could have the equivalent impact of adding a transfer on death.
Yeah.
To an account if you want to limit it to that situation. Whereas during your lifetime in a joint account, you have equal access to the money.
Yeah.
So meaning one party can drain the account.
Absolutely.
Can spend it to zero. So you got to know, you got to know your kids and what they can handle. So I have joint accounts, but bank accounts with my kids. Adult children.
Yeah.
That's more for emergencies. Mm-hmm. They can both get into them, but neither of them to date have gone in and done anything.
Good.
It's, they might ask for something. And I was like, that's on you. So we pull it out of there. But so far, I think one doesn't know how to get to it. Yeah. The other one definitely does.
Okay.
Yeah. But so far, so good.
Yeah. So we're talking about the accounts that you can help your kids open. So a custodial account was one, and the parent would be doing it on the kid's behalf. The joint account, y'all would be doing together. Another is a custodial Roth account. And this is an account that's like a custodial account that we already talked about, but this one is specifically a Roth IRA.
Mm-hmm.
And a Roth IRA is one where the growth is going to be tax-free. Mm-hmm. Like Roth accounts are very, very valuable.
Yep.
The only catch is that the kid needs earned income. Like they have to have wages or some sort of earnings.
Something a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah, it's a big catch.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely see folks, like we've talked about this in the past, having the parent match, right? Like the kid works at McDonald's or Rally's. Where'd you work? Where'd you work back
You remember
then?
That?
Where was it?
I worked at Rally's. It was Rally's.
Yeah, Rally's, or in my case, Roy Rogers. Your kid works there.
St. Charles Avenue in New Orleans.
I wonder if it's still there.
It's probably still there.
I wonder if your picture's still on the wall. Don't let this person come in here and order a burger anymore.
$20 lot check. I'm still mad. I remember so many details about that job for apparent reason.
So,
you know, I'm making it up, right?
The custodial Roth allows the parent to contribute money on the kid's behalf that could equal or meet what they earned from their paycheck, or it could meet whatever they're able to put away. Like that could be y'all, the deal that y'all come up with. But the idea is that you could have a kid who's under the age of 18 or under the age of 21 and help them to create a Roth account that gets funded before they're an adult. And the custodial Roth account would be another one of these ways of, what do we call it earlier, having a middle class trust fund.
Oh, and by the way, if they are 18 already and you can't do a custodial Roth, you can still help them by opening a Roth, but you just can't contribute because this happens too, where parents are really putting in the money. They're really funding it, but it still can't be more than what the child is earning.
Yeah.
So
that year,
their that wages year, on right. Their... Like, so my daughter is 18. I'm not saying she has an NIL deal, but she has received a small amount of funds.
Come through.
So
come
I'm going to, whatever she earns, I'm going to put that in a Roth for her.
And can I also say that your daughter is number one in the conference in her event so
she
far?
She is. Don't let that get out.
I'm like, just saying.
My alma mater is very hush-hush about freshman accomplishments. I think it's to keep them humble.
Yeah.
But this child in the past has been obsessed with knowing where she is and rankings. And like in our day, we had to wait for the paper to come out the next day. And all the data wasn't available. But I stumbled on that.
Yeah.
And I have not spoken a word to her. I don't know if she's in that mindset yet.
But here's what I love about that the most.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our HBCUs have left the traditional Black conferences and gone to these majority white conferences.
Ours is one of them.
And some of them in a lot of sports are getting their butts kicked to the point where alumni are like, why are we in this conference? And,
I'm in these conversations all the time.
And yet your daughter at a school that is in a really competitive conference where in other sports, the men and women are not quite competing that well.
Not yet.
Not yet. It's coming. Mm-hmm. Not yet. And she's number one in the conference as a freshman. Like, come on.
Listen. The competitive me is like, yes.
Yeah.
Humble me is like, it's early in the season. There's only been a couple of meets.
Well, proud.
Some schools have only competed once.
proud me is like, look at my niece out there killing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Proud me is like, Olympics, here we come.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's proud me. That's just regular me. So other accounts. So 529s, like, yes, you could fund a 529. We're big fans of 529s, but like each account we've named so far allows you and or the kid to pick their own investments. And the 529 is going to limit you to a really short list of investments.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you can put it into a diversified basket of mutual funds, and I'm sure it's going to do well over time, but it may not get the kid all that excited.
Right.
Right. So like 529 is a great account to have.
Absolutely.
We absolutely think parents should be funding these accounts for their kids. A 529 is like a Roth IRA for educational expenses.
That's right.
All the growth is untaxed if the money is used for either college or even private school.
Yes, the language around it is qualified education expenses, but there's a list of specific things that it can be used for.
Yeah.
But it's not just college tuition.
Yeah. And then finally, we're going to preview this account. It's not technically out yet. It does come out this year. It is the 530A account, the 530A account, also known as the Trump account. We've heard a lot about this, and they got a whole website up, but they're saying it's going to be launched on July 4th, 2026.
America's 250th birthday.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's the gift that is being given. And so this is basically...
Does it come with that pin of himself that he wears on his lapel?
I don't know if it does.
Anyway.
So in order to be eligible, you've got to be under 18. You need a social security number. And if you have a young child, and a young child would be anyone born between January 1 of last year and December 31 of 2028, then your young child is also eligible for a $1,000 contribution from the federal government. And that part is exciting because we already talked about the fact that $1,000 in 25 years is $10,000. And in 40 years could be $50,000. So your kid who is just born may have gotten a $50,000 gift to their future selves through the Trump account. It's something. I don't really love the account
I wonder where the funding is coming from. Where is the money coming from to do the government match?
Oh, easy. Well, we canceled y'all healthcare subsidies.
That's what I'm saying.
We gutted a bunch of other social services programs.
How I feel about this.
Yeah. We've added tariffs that you as the consumer are paying. And we came up with some extra coin and we're going to drop that G on y'all.
So it's kind of like, well, if I'm paying for it anyway, I should do it, right?
I mean, if you have a young kid, I mean, I don't know that either
I will not be having any children who can benefit from this.
If you're already a young couple or a childbearing age couple, a child wanting age couple, and there will be a child born between last year and 2028, why not open this account and take $1,000 of free money?
Who can fund it? Anybody can fund it?
Yeah, anybody. In addition to the government being a funder, you can fund it for your kid. Other family members can fund it. Companies can fund it. Or even nonprofit organizations could fund it.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And only the earnings are taxed upon withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
So you put in $1,000, it grows to be worth $10,000. I mean, your own $1,000, then it's the $9,000 that's taxable.
Mm-hmm.
And later in life, you can just roll it into an IRA if you want. It's the only reason I would do this, frankly, would be because of the $1,000 match. My kids are not going to be eligible for this.
Correct.
So I will not be opening a 530A account.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can't.
But y'all should know about it.
Yeah.
You know, we could.
We're going to tell you about everything.
If we had kids under 18, we could.
Mm-hmm.
And I do. I have a 16-year-old kid. But the benefits...
He's good already.
Just ain't that great. In a brokerage account...
Some of these other account types are more beneficial.
Yeah, in a regular brokerage account, I'm only taxed on my gains.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
This is right.
You're being taxed on your gains. Yeah,
the name doesn't have to be on it if that's not something you're comfortable with.
What name?
What the account is called. Well, the 530A, but...
Yeah, it doesn't have to say Trump on it.
Correct.
Yeah.
We forever call Roths Roths because Senator Roth came up with the concept.
I'm sure it's coming though that it's going to be called a Trump account.
Of course.
I'm positive.
Yes.
It's coming.
They're
right
going to put it in the
it's called 530A.
In the code. Yeah.
Positive is coming. So that's another account. Now this account is not going to let you pick individual stocks. There's a short list of funds, kind of like a 529 plan or a 401k plan.
I also don't love that.
You'll be able to choose from, but it's something
with my options.
I mean, here's what I like the most about it. The idea that we're talking to, we're having this conversation nationally about young people investing early.
Love that.
And the fact that there's a vehicle set up and some will get us some seed funding to be able to get them started as investors, where one day, they'll be able to afford being in America, which they can't right now. Mm. So it's a step forward. So we've talked about a bunch of stuff today. Have your young people listen to this episode.
Yeah.
Nieces, nephews, kids, grandkids. Yep. And hopefully you as the parent or the rich auntie got something from this too.
And have them do some of the homework or extra credit.
Absolutely. And go back and listen to, what was that episode you named?
Know When to Hold Them.
Know When to Hold Them is a good one. We did Intro to Investing. We did Stocks, the prequel. And there's a number of other good episodes.
Yeah, Adulting 101 was a great one that Adulting you guys did before I came on board. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
I would love the young ladies to listen to the Sister Tax.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Not just because it's special because it's my first one, but really, I want to make sure our young women are empowered to think about this differently, but for their benefit.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Well, keep listening. And if you are so inclined and want some help or you want to be a part of a wealth building discussion and you've already gotten started with some investments and you need some help getting it to the next level, feel free to reach out to us on our website, momentum-advisors.com. Go to the contact page and you can schedule time with Andrea or myself.
Matter of fact, Sister Tax, just send it. It doesn't have to be just for young women. I want our guys to be aware.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
What these ladies are up against.
That's right.
I'm Alan Boomer.
I'm Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors. Mother.